You are listening to This Morning.
So let's discuss further now the situation around smart cities. The Moon Jae-in administration announcing the government will build these in Busan and Sejong, with construction set to start this year. And we wouldn't have to wait too long. Completion is set for 2021. Busan residents will apparently be able to save 124 hours a year, according to the government, by harnessing the power of technology like the Internet of Things. Today, we'll learn more about what smart cities are and how they could change our lives with Professor Lee Jung-hoon from the Graduate School of Information at Yonsei University. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Alex.
So, thanks for joining us, first of all. Can you explain what a smart city is for those of us who might be just vaguely familiar, guessing what it is?
Well, I mean, simply the smart city aims to resolve the various urban problems and using the ICT-based technology. And you simply connect with the urban infrastructures to improve the quality of life as well.
But how is that distinguished from a U-city? And are there examples outside of Korea?
U-city is more focused on the more operational efficiency with the urban infrastructures, and also the less emphasis on the uses are made of the social infrastructure, for example, from human and social capital. Smart city now extensively focuses on the new value creations within the city to revitalize some of the city's economic and social structures as well. Our research lab review on assets of the global smart city around the world using our index model since 2012, and seems to be the European cities like Barcelona, Amsterdam, and London are leading on this smart city under the three themes, with the first, citizen participation, and the second one is open data-driven city, and the third is establishing the innovative ecosystems.
But what we want to know is how this is going to impact our lives. What are the advantages for us of a smart city?
Basically, as you mentioned about President Moon, the government was mentioning about saving the 125 hours, right? I think the mostly the important area will be the transportations from our review. And I think that by 2040, we may have autonomous vehicles or drones, which will be available to us to avoid any traffic congestion and also save the significant transportation time as well. Not only the transportation, but also other area, including health and lifestyle or safety and disaster recovery, that actually will benefit to city throughout the smart city development.
How does it benefit the socially vulnerable, particularly as well, like the elderly, like those living with disabilities?
I think the concept of smart city is also driving the inclusive growth. I think it is important to take care of the socially vulnerable people. For instance, Korea is actually driving to launching the services, already launching or testing the monitoring the elderly people within the dementia, also total sensor health care services and emergency monitoring for the single or elderly people. For example, putting the sensors or TV at the and the refrigerator to monitoring whether these people are okay or not. If something happened, then maybe actually the social taker can go and have a look at these people.
I've often thought, though, about smart cities that's just a way of describing the collective action of citizens, for example, upgrading their own homes, making them smartphones, really embracing the Internet of Things. How important is the participation of citizens for this kind of initiative to be successful at government level?
I think creating the open innovation environment with the active citizen participation becoming a very important critical success factor for the smart city development. I think this is phenomenal for the same other countries and other cities as well. I think based on our analysis of 20 leading cities, I think the citizens' roles are changing from simple participation to the problem solver or co-creator as well. For example, city's noise level becomes one of the urban problems to tackle. A group of community can form and engage this problem using the smart mobile sensors to identify which streets are the most causing the highest noise level. At the end, this community can discuss and possible solution, and they can actually propose to the city hall as well. So these are kind of a bottom-up approach is becoming very popular. And this is a very important engagement process to accepting the technology and using this technology to improve our quality of life.
But there's also a sense that the infrastructure has got to be there. Like, for example, you can say to people, it's great if you can drive electric vehicles, but if there are no charging stations, people are not going to be on board. How do you evaluate the situation right now for Korean infrastructure to realize smart cities?
Right. Referring back to our index report, I think we have Korea has got excellent ICT infrastructure. I think the many other cities I spoken, they actually envy the Korean infrastructure in terms of the 5G and also the IoT sensor network. And I think the 5G will be the very important infrastructure backbone for the fourth industrial revolution as well. However, we also have weakness in terms of the generating the new business model and also the lack of the city's engagement perspective as well. Many ICT companies actually struggling to search the feasible business model in a smart city context. So having this infrastructures with the collecting the mass big data, how this data can be transferred into the valuable service to us will be the different challenges, and it will be the homework for these companies as well. So is government.
But I understand you also place emphasis on the need for deregulation if we're really going to see smart cities flourish. Can you elaborate?
I think the last year about $3.4 million venture capital funding was formed for the startup. But we have many little detailed regulation in our country in the startups or new business development within the smart city development as well. For example, rides, sharing, healthcare, or fintech are currently under the discussion to deregulate and promoting the startups and creating the new value chain. For example, like healthcare devices still require the supervision of a doctor. Although we recently started to share our medical record among the hospital as well. Recently the Korean government actually announced that smart cities should serve as a regulatory sandboxes, which testing the ground for the new business model that are not protected by the current regulation and promote the innovative economic growth within the new industry. I think that we need to, expand more example of the sandbox application into the more cities in order to accelerate our innovation pace and identify the feasible business model and their social impacts.
Finally, with this plan for Sejong and Busan really rushing ahead with the aim of finishing by 2021, are you optimistic that timeline can be met?
Yeah, I think I'm optimistic about these two cities to become a world-class smart city. But also in Greater Korea, we have other cities are also progressing with the smart city, including Daegu and Cheongju, and Seoul is of course is one of the top cities, on smart city as well, according to our report as well. But I think we really need to think about how these technologies will affect our life. Will people accept the new smart city services from the technology push point of view? Yes, it sounds very promising, and but sustainability of these infrastructures, how we can actually elaborate this business model to operate within the city will be very important. Will citizens need to pay more taxes to use these services? What will be the feasible private-public partnership model to bring the innovative business model? There are many questions to be answered as well. I think importantly to become a people or a citizen-centered smart city, user acceptance will be the critical for the both cities, I think, including Sejong and Busan. Residents will move by the 2021, but probably it needs more time for citizens to realize the service values and also the willingness to pay as well. So the government and both cities let go of their impatience for completion date, and since the smart city is not about technology, but people, importantly, is people who are living in the city.
Right. Thank you very much. We've got to leave it there. Good to have you with us, though, Professor Lee Jung-hoon from the Graduate School of Information at Yonsei University.
Thanks for having me, Alex. Thank you.